Deadlands, Tales from the Shattered Coast is back in the feed tonight as we steam along to the conclusion of the Flood module. This is part one to session 63, and Sharon, Chris, Richard, and Jameis rejoin us playing their usual characters. Nothing else to report, so let's dive right into it. Well, we are back with another Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast as we reach the end of our many year-long campaign now for the Flood. This is session 63, and with us tonight we have Weematai playing herself, and Eddie Guff as played by...
I am Chris, and I will be playing Eddie Guff. My cards are Get Savage. For the duration of one combat or scene, your character gains the benefit of any one edge, regardless of requirements. You shall not pass. Your character gains a +2 bonus to all attack and damage rolls. This effect lasts as long as the character does not move and is not shaken at the end of another character's action. Deadly Blow. Play after damage is rolled to double the total of a successful melee attack. Catnap. Play when a character has at least a half hour of undisturbed downtime to restore a character as if she had a full night's rest. This restores all power points and removes all fatigue. Unexpected Insight. Your character watched or read something about a non-human creature he's currently fighting. He knows one of its weaknesses or, if it had none, adds +2 to his attack and damage rolls against this type of creature for the rest of the session. And those are the cards that I have.
All right. And Sarah Beauchamp, as played by...
This is Sharon. I'll be playing Dr. Sarah Beauchamp. And my cards are Folk Hero, play after you save a group of people from dire circumstances. The community adopts you and your party as local heroes, and you can always find aid there. Angry Mob, play during combat. A mob of angry locals equal to 2 per hero join the battle as allies. Treat them as soldiers armed with whatever the GM deems appropriate. They stay for the current battle only. Let's settle this. Play at the beginning of a combat round with no jokers. No character can soak wounds until a joker is drawn. Turncoat. Your hero somehow convinces or bribes a minor foe to perform a small favor, such as helping the hero escape, revealing the location of the boss, etc. And seize the day. The character acts as if he had drawn a joker this combat round.
All right. And Luke Villeneuve, as played by...
This is Jameis playing someone called Luke Villeneuve, who I've really forgotten everything about. Cards I have include Last Stand. You and allies get a +2 to parry and toughness until a joker is dealt. Better you than me. Hero hit by an attack and an adjacent character, they get the attack instead. Parley. Everyone ceases fighting for 30 seconds and has to take defensive action and doesn't have any effect on beasts or other creatures. Not today. Play after any other character's attack roll to make it automatically fail as a critical failure. And Ace. Play instead of rolling to make a trait test with a single automatic raise.
All right. And finally, Young Jean Lu, as played by...
That is me. I am Richard, and I am playing the poor, simple, humble, dragon-obsessed martial artist who has some other qualities as well, which I can't. And I have Surprising Riposte, so you can interrupt somebody and do it at +4 attack damage. Rolled up, if you get hurt, you do +2 damage for the rest of the scene, which might be useful for us. I don't know, possibly. Peace, which... probably won't be useful to us because it only works on neutrals who we haven't come across with. Second Wind, heal injury sustained in this combat. Perfect timing to get a card out of the deck. And Noble Sacrifice, to play when an adjacent ally suffers damage, you suffer the damage instead. Can we perhaps give this to an NPC to jump in the way for us? Can we do that?
No.
Can I somehow make Grimes our ally? And then have him jump in the way when one of these horrible people tries to attack us. No?
No, but with perfect timing, you can get one of your favorite cards to make this battle a lot more fun.
I could, yes, that would be fun. So we could face a giant Grimes, or a Grimes with 20 times as many supporters. Oh, how much fun.
Oh, that is unfortunate. They didn't lock in all of Grimes' bonuses to skill rolls.
Oh, what a disappointment for us.
Okay, so, picking up off last session, it would help if I opened my notes. Mostly we ended up, you guys, having several months of planning.
Last time we had a lot of talk with Hellstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Finding out things and stuff, which really, I don't think we learned anything which will come into play here.
But we did set him firmly on the path of Hellstrom on Earth.
And then we were going to go away and do lots of planning for several months, as you were saying. Did anybody have any ideas for that?
Big thing was you were trying to persuade him to take an active hand in the things to come along, and you were partially successful in that. He was firmly that he would not dedicate men or troops to die at this possible thing, but you at least got him thinking. And he may be of help before it's all over, but he got no firm commitment of him for troops or any kind of military might, we'll say.
And the other sent letters of introduction to Shen Fan and Emperor Norton to say, hey, this guy's good to trade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's not evil at all.
Although Luke would have something to say about that.
He didn't send any letters of introduction at all.
No, Luke sends in a supplementary level saying, don't trust the first level letter. He is completely evil. You should probably still deal with him anyway. Fair enough. Now, some of you had typed some things on the board that you are wanting to do. And just so we have an idea of how long we were going here. Let's see. End of March. So you do actually have several months from Born in a Bowl's auguring, that Grime and his 13 elders gather from sunrise to sunset on August 23rd of each year to feast. And since that was such a long time ago, just more in particulars, the reason you're having or potentially having to do this flood thing is that they all have to be killed at once. Also,
killed
a point
within an hour of one another.
Right. And also within that, I read through this again just to make sure, and it was kind of alluded at, but it's something that I think, given enough time, which you guys have several months of downtime and thinking about the visions, etc., you need to take down the cathedral as well. Hmm. It's okay. Not just Grimes and his 13.
Okay, not a thing. Came up.
Actually, it is, because I read verbatim the imagery. And the imagery did include the shattering of the temple.
Not as a necessity, though, more as a descriptive event.
I mean, that could have been, hey, this is representative of Grimes falling.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
I just hear dynamite. I mean,
if you've got a big flood, dynamite's not going to be a lot of help.
Blessed.
If it's disrupted and fused.
What I see is that someone just, after the first one of them dies, someone just hangs on an hour, 1 minute! Last bit of breath of air.
That is the most interesting point of this whole module to me. They've got these people, and they all need to be killed for Grimes to be hurt in whatever way, and they all need to die within an hour of one another. That is absolutely fascinating. Let's never allude to why that has to happen at all throughout the entirety of the module.
Yeah, actually, they do have points where it could have been picked up, but you didn't.
Do they say what happens if they aren't killed within an hour?
Just for sake of things, why don't I go ahead and reread the whole thing with Born in a Bowl? It's not terribly long. It might give you more information. So this is when you guys are back with Born in a Bowl, and you're drifting off into that slumber due to the weed that she's burning, etc. So you awake to find yourself on a small rock island somewhere out in the maze. All around you are great storms, and the land itself quivers and rolls. Somehow, you know you are in the aftermath of the great quake many years ago. You stand before a group of people, starving, miserable wretches, but you are not yourself. You glance into a pool of standing water and are shocked to see that you are Reverend Ezekiel Grime. But there's something different. Instead of the stern countenance you remember, you see a kindly face frozen in a shock of horror. You turn back to the others, your flock. Their hands and faces are covered in blood and bits of meat. They part as you stagger towards them. They hover over the mutilated form of a man. You hold a heavy pistol in your hand. You fire. One of the mob drops. But the others rush forward. Some defend you, some stab and claw and hurl rocks at you, and those loyal to you. It's a frenzy of blood and brains, and a foul man, someone you think you've seen before, sees with hatred as he wraps his single large hand around your throat. You scream the name of the Lord as your neck cracks and darkness falls. Aeons seem to pass. From the darkness of the pit, you drag yourself from the blood and brains and meat and muscle. Red dawn rises slowly. You find yourself sitting amid the 13 survivors, those who killed you to eat your flesh, to eat your fresh raw meat. You gaze into the same stagnant water you peered in earlier. You wear the face of Grime, but you are not him. You are a cunning, malicious being formed from the hunger and hatred of others, and you hunger as well, for food, for meat, for life itself. You look at your new flock. They look up at you, blood and bone crusted on their mad faces. They bow, and the cult of lost angels is born. You awake with the worst hangover of your life. Born in a Bowl continues to chant, and then stops. She speaks in a voice that is not her own. This is the stuff here. I know what you seek. I will aid you. The evil is rising, and there are so few left to fight. The man you know as Grimes is a creature of great evil, the collective evil of the 13 who slew him. To kill Grimes, you must kill the 13 elders, and they do not die easily. But if all 13 can be slain within 1 hour of each other, near the center of power at the great black building with colored lights, their power will end. They know this, and so stay far apart all over the West. But once every year, on the anniversary of their feast, from sunrise to sunset on August 23rd, by the white man's calendar, they must gather to eat and again renew their powers. How you accomplish this task is up to you, but the spirit whispers of a great flood, one that will destroy the 13 and the center of their power, the cathedral, forever. If you wish to trigger this, you must control the earth spirits who guard this land once more. Find their signs in the caves. Someone or several people must shed blood on at least 7 signs. When next one of those people spills his own blood on raw soil, the spirit will answer and shake the earth. Stand at Grimes Cathedral while the 13 feast, and you will destroy them all. So that was the instruction.
That doesn't tell us why they will have to die within an hour.
Nope.
Which is I did not say that this would tell you. No, I understand that. But yeah, that is the most interesting point of this whole adventure for me. And they never, and we never got it.
Yeah, the reason behind a lot of that would have been entailed a lot more time in Los Angeles, basically abducting and interviewing people higher up. I use the word interviewing.
We have our task anyway.
Right. So over the intervening months, you all pieced go over this the vision and what you were told by Born in a Bowl again.
We might even be able to go and talk to you, Born in a Bowl again over those months, since we've got months. And hey, it might be somewhere that Rimatai wants to go to be safe while we do this thing.
That is a very good point. Yeah, bringing her back to the Necessity Alliance.
Back to meet the parents.
Yeah. I've been traveling for months and I came back with this swollen belly.
Good food.
Yeah.
That it wasn't a white man, so that's all right.
All right. So, that could be a thing that was done, going back to see the Necessity Alliance. They're still hanging out on their little island.
They moved.
Well, yeah, most of them did. But some of them are still hanging around. That's kind of their meeting area, like their lodges there as a group. They have mostly moved out to continue promoting the ideas of their alliance, etc. But Born of the Bowl can still be found there. So you can hoist Weematai off on her, if you wish. She wants to go back to continue her studies as well, too. She's not happy that you are leaving her out of this confrontation, but she understands that...
The idea is not to foist her off on there and then go off for a few months. Look, we need a meeting place to meet up before we do this. If it's going to be the Necessity Alliance, then we couldn't meet up at the Necessity Alliance.
That makes a...
It could be Perdition.
Yeah. Actually, that makes a lot of sense to have a meeting with some of the other people that you have roped into this thing to meet on that island instead of Perdition, which, you know, you could have spies around in town, especially since the Church of Lost Angels does have people, you know, just about every major city proselytizing, etc. And they don't all wear robes.
True enough. But going out to, people could have legitimate reasons for going to Perdition. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a legitimate reason for anybody going out to the Necessity Alliance.
Well, that's easy. You went out to the maze and got lost. Whoops. Oh, look, here's a settlement. I'll just pop them in for a while.
Possible.
Very true. Especially as, you've got to get there by ship. So, someone is following everyone. That would be a little harder to arrange.
True enough. Well, who are the people who you think we should call to be out there to do things? Who did you call on over these months?
What about the people of the grid? Should they be informed what could possibly happen?
Are we having a PC meeting somewhere?
Yeah,
Necessity Alliance. I mean, we're not.
You might want to decide before going there who to contact to bring there, though, because it's not exactly like there's telegraph lines going out there. So you might want to decide ahead of time who to tell you to meet there, or who to have meet you there.
I mean, I was assuming we all had different things to do at some point.
Mm-hmm.
To go off, different loved ones to go and see, or whatever. So, we can be doing this in Perdition and then split up for X months and then meet up at the Necessity Alliance.
That's good. So, first of all, who would you invite to this shindig at the Necessity Alliance? Let's do that first before everyone breaks off into their own thing.
That's kind of what I was asking. That's whatever is the way I did. So the men of the grid, they are people we have talked to, and they live in the city.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yes, I certainly can see that.
Okay. And you have a business card and contact for someone who is high up in the group. So I assume you're going to make a contact that way. You can send a telegram to his place of business that is listed on his card.
That's sounds a question, like, by the way. Yeah.
Do we all know right. any other way of contacting them? I mean, I don't think we do.
We can go to Lost Angels and see if we can find someone.
Yeah. Sure, I'm a man of the grid, as he hides his hood.
Oh, we know at least one man of the grid is pretending to be, or is a member of them anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah, we only have the telegraph. Well, we only have the business contact. So. Our contact, what's his name?
Isaac Bell with your group, or Court Williams with the agency?
Isaac Bell. He can invite the others if he can get through to them.
Okay, right. He'll round up the agency and the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
We might see your brother again, Sarah.
I've forgotten who all the people are we have that we've talked about. I've forgotten so much about this campaign.
That's why you take notes.
I take notes on important stuff.
Well, just as a reminder of things that you can possibly do, and again, you know, up to you guys as to how far you want to spread this, because there's also the possibility that your planning, et cetera, could tip off your opponent. Mm-hmm. But some things that you have set up in the past. Okay, so
it's
going to
happen anyways.
Mm-hmm. you have had some people in Lost Angels properly that definitely you're at least somewhat concerned about getting out. Especially the population, the mestizo population there. It's kind of there paying you know, just enough attention to Grimes' laws to be able to live there in peace, but kind of doing their own thing on the side, which you guys have, you know, you may feel a little sorry about if they get drowned. Yeah. Men of the Grid, certainly, the Agency and the Rangers. Other than that, the Necessity Alliance, Born in the Bull is a big advocate for you, but she doesn't really control the Braves. So you don't know if she could actually get you a force if you need one. Again, you haven't exactly figured out if this is going to be a frontal assault, if you're going to sneak in, or if you're just using these extra people just to help you get the, quote, innocents out of Lost Angels. So you haven't really decided on that yet either. Mm. You've got kind of an understanding with his name.
Oh. See? Take notes, Bert.
Yeah. Oh, I have notes. I just have to go back and look. With your friend hiding out amongst the Mormons, he may provide you some support, but he's adamant against providing you with actually any military support. But he may be willing to provide other types of support for you.
You're talking about Hellstrom.
Yes, Mr. Hellstrom, right.
Oh, you've forgotten his name, yes.
other than that, you do have the Twilight Society, which may be...
we have not talked to them since we first met them in Shandrake. Right.
So...
talked to Joker and... Right. I want to say Lacey O'Malley.
Yeah, Lacey
O'Malley. Yeah, talk to Lacey O'Malley.
So they might be able to provide you some help if they rally the troops, as it were. But you got to get the idea that the society is not a very large one and mostly bookish. But, you know, you don't know for sure.
Well, are we just going to try to get innocents out or to high ground? Or are we actually going to try to get, like, a military force together?
This is sort of being ahead of ourselves, but my preference would be get the innocents out and we'll... A small group of us will do a small strike team to get in and get in position and put the blood down and let loose the flood. And somehow escape if we're lucky.
Yeah.
But you can hear Luke say that almost as an afterthought at this point, as if he's like, yeah, if it happens, fine. If it doesn't, he's not worried about it.
Okay. Did we establish that Perdition, Shannonsburg, and Elspethtown would be affected by the flood or not?
You have no idea what the magnitude would be.
One thing I was trying to set up is that if it did look like it was coming, people were in place that would know that, oh, this might be coming at this time. Get ready to get things going. That's what I was trying to set up.
Okay.
One thing I would be trying to set up, I don't know, the tenses are weird because of how we're currently doing this. But yeah.
I mean, they've got to be over 75 miles away.
Better safe than sorry. If it happens,
if it is going to be doing more than 75-mile plods that can reach Perdition, which was up on cliffs, then we have bigger things to worry about, like actually stopping the flood before it floods the rest of the world or something.
Eh, well, that's another thing to worry about, because we'll probably be dead by that point.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just put up the map again here. I'll share it because of that 75-mile zone. Perdition is within it, but it's also got height. Since it's up on a cliff.
Yeah, I'm not expecting it to. I'm not expecting Shannonsburg to. I just put it set up. If it happens, then be aware that this is going to, and get ready to move quickly. But it's a big
deal. Anywhere could be within 75 miles unless they submitted to Grimes' rule.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't submit to Grimes' rule.
Yeah, Perdition is within 75 miles. That's the thing. But Perdition is kind of a new thing. You know, I mean, you guys basically helped it grow. It hasn't really been subjected yet to Grimes' rule.
But it was always a place where they were building things for Hellstrom.
Probably far enough away that Grimes is like, I'll worry about it later.
Yeah.
It's not a thing I'm worried about.
It doesn't strike me as that kind of a person. Okay.
It strikes me that I'm going to consolidate my base slowly kind of person. And Perdition, at the time it was set up, didn't look to be a threat. And now it's like, it's just a thing over there. I'll be around to it.
So basically what we need is a just-in-case evacuation plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've got in place in Shannonsburg and Perdition.
Okay.
Okay. Well, in Perdition, definitely you can talk to Joker. You know, and of course, He will get some people that he trusts in the know. So, like, if he's clued off that something might happen, they've got, you know, wagons yep. ready to take people out, etc. But isn't going to tell a lot of people.
No. That's a huge if. So, yeah. If it happens. And for Shannonsburg, I was thinking a ranger or something like that with independent authority. You can sort of get
The problem, though, is Shannonsburg is a really big city. Really big.
Yeah, it is. But if you've got a flood coming, at least some warning's better than nothing. Some preparation's better than nothing.
Sure. So you've got somebody working on that, but the person is not really involved in the politics of the area. It's a matter of, like, who he can get to follow him, and that's going to not be the vast majority of Shannonsburg. But,
That's coming. There's going to be, oh, shit, what do we do? Hang on, we've got all the setup. All right, let's go. Boom.
Shannonsburg is over 100 miles away from the city of Los Angeles. And you guys are thinking we're going to flood the whole of the
coast? Caledonia lives there. I'm not going to...
but, I mean, wow.
And Ellsworth Town is, what, 120?
Way inland.
Wow. But at this point, they've probably got enough machines that they could just raise the entire town, stilts, and walk on. Possibly with a giant derby on top, you know.
Speaking of which, I do want to find out if there's any sort of maybe collapsible rubber boat of sorts that we could get.
Sure. I'm sure it's something that's going to be the size of a very large backpack that you could wear. Not exactly going to be easily hidden, but sure. I'm sure our friends at Smith and Robards will have such things.
Okay.
I was thinking of more of a highly floatable personal device, and maybe a device to be able to breathe underwater for a bit.
Ah, okay.
Snorkel and life jacket, right?
Well, a personal flotation device, no big deal. You can get like one of the little cylinder things that you can just kind of hold on to that floats. No big deal. Breathing underwater, scuba gear type equipment, I think, is still quite a ways away.
I know that Smith and Robards in the 1888 catalog, or 1878? Well, in their catalog, they've got oxygen pills, I seem to recall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
there'll be potions for underwater breathing anyway. I can't remember. There'll be some power that says you can negate the environmental effects.
Yeah, but not...
Put in a potion and say you can breathe underwater as long as possible. No, remember, I have got my gyrocopter thingy-majiggy job going.
Actually, I want to stash a couple of those inflatable, collapsible rubber boats around Dr. Lewis's hospital.
Oh, okay, all right, sure.
And so basically, since he's at my and maybe stash one at my house in Perdition.
It was just finished being built too.
Yeah.
You just got all the furniture in, all your appliances, and now it might be flooded.
Either flooded or waterfront property.
Well, the contractors have got back to you, Miss Beauchamp, and they're a little puzzled why you want your house built on stilts.
That's a common thing in hot areas for circulation of air anyway, so.
Yeah. 6 foot stilts?
just stash a couple of them so that if Joker tells Richard, you know, bail, he can bail and he can get the boat ready with some supplies.
Yeah, Richard would definitely be one of the people on Joker's list to inform, especially since telling your doctor there could be an impending panic is probably a good thing. You're one and only doctor in the town. Okay, so far I've got that you're going to get a contact through the Men of the Grid, ask them to meet at the Necessity Alliance. Isaac Bell's going to round up some people. They'll meet there as well.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust Alstrom enough to get any of his people involved. I don't trust him enough to get any of his people involved.
Shouldn't we tell the Alliance that people are coming?
Well, the idea is that you're going to get there ahead of time with, you know, any luck. Because there's not really any way to contact them, short of going out there.
Yeah. Hey, I better fly out there by that point.
Mm-hmm. You could. That could be how you get there.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to tell, does anyone up in Shan family want to deal with? I don't think so.
Well, no.
I don't
Young's,
know.
Young's parents are in perdition now, so he's fine with flooding Shan family.
Yeah, I'm just thinking in terms of resources up there. I think they're probably a bit too fresh at the moment to do much help. Emperor Norton's nice and safe, so that's all right.
Shan Fan is further away than Shannonsburg.
I know.
But they're on the coastline, is the thing. Yeah, you have no idea how far.
And they may have resources. There's a pirate, one of them is a pirate guy. He may have resources we want to tap into.
Right, yeah, no, that's...
We didn't really think much of the people in the 37th chamber, did we?
You don't remember much of the people in the 37th chamber.
No, so yeah.
They were far inland near a...
Again, resources, not people worried about the flood.
There wasn't... There were just people living there. They weren't doing...
Okay. Yeah, so far. Nothing, no. And you got people down in Mexicali, who's in fact a lot closer than Jennifer.
But do you really care about them?
They have tequila.
Which will float to the surface once.
I'm fine with that.
He got his leg back and he went off. He was going to go east anyway, to more than the east.
Texas?
Yep, going towards Texas.
Yeah, so so that's where all his resources will be dedicated towards anyway. I can't think of any other... Want to go get the caretaker involved and tell him to come along down?
Bring the whole family. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I would say keep it kind of small.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
If you're putting together a rescue mission versus a infiltration or, you know, straight up fight, then small is probably better.
Yeah. As I said, I think rescue mission and we, as a small group of PCs, go in on infiltration to get to the point to spill our blood. And... Mm-hmm. That's what Luke's thinking right this minute. There may be better plans, but that's what Luke's thinking right this minute.
The other thing that is something you might think of is getting a hold of your dear old captain, Beauregard, from the Gypsy Queen 2, Queen Harder. he might know a bunch of captains that he might trust to just conveniently be around with some boats.
If we are worried that perdition is going to be flooded out, then we are telling the captains to be as far away as possible from where the flood is going to be happening as possible. Because otherwise, I mean, they are just going to get smashed on rocks, or they're going to end up in, like, New York or something.
And then we will have the Queen 3. Yes.
I would say send the captain north, get him out of the way, and have him tell some of the other captains to, they may not want to be around on October 23rd when...
Well, August 23rd either.
August
23rd. Yeah, August 23rd. That's what I meant, August 23rd. When, you know, all the 13 come around and it may not be a place for innocence to be. But not tell them that there's going to be a big flood.
Yeah. That's going to be, as Young says, that's going to be horrendous to be boats in the maze at that point. At least we think so. Maybe, it's unlikely to be good.
This is, do not know what kind of magic this is. It might leave the boats and only devastate the area we tell it.
kill only people, but leave the building standing. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, well, you've contacted those that you feel that you can trust, small group of the inner circle, as it were. Eddie Guff, are you going to do anything yourself personally during this time? You got a few months here.
Well, most of my people that I care about are on the East Coast and shouldn't be affected by this. I really don't have any friends or family other than, you know, the little group I travel with. I'm okay just to drink it all away.
Okay. I want you to do something for me here. You've essentially got four moons. I want you to make four spirit rolls.
Okay.
And you are wearing the bracelet the entire time.
Do them one at a time, and then whether you like the number or not, tell me if you're going to blow any chips on them. Okay. So this will be for the essentially the moon in April. This is the with a roll of a 3. You're definitely wanting to wear the manacle. You can feel it coming upon you. You can feel the change coming upon you, and you still don't have really any control over it. So this is, you know, coming towards full moon, and you're just you know that if you took it off, that you would turn.
I'll throw a chip at it.
You want to throw a chip at it? Okay.
Yeah.
What are you gonna throw?
White chip is a reroll, correct?
A white chip is a reroll. A blue is an additional plus D6, with no bad benefits to me, or nothing that benefits me. red will give me an extra chip, which I should draw chips for myself now that I'm thinking about it.
and
up to you. A white gives you a reroll and doesn't do anything other than help you.
Okay. Oh yeah, I'll do the white.
Throw a white. Okay. So re-roll that spirit roll for you. Okay. So revising that just a bit. You feel the pull. You feel the moon calling you to change. But you feel that this time you feel it coming. But it's not so urgent this time. You feel that it's there, and you could let it happen. But you also feel that you're able to resist it more, and you don't think that it's entirely the chains this time. Do you want to take them off or leave them on?
I will leave them on.
All right, you're gonna leave them on. Okay. May comes around.
Yeah, don't blow all your chips on this.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not.
If you get a one at some point, just roll with it.
Okay. May comes around and the call comes again, but this time it feels distant. Like you could answer that call if you wanted to, and you know you would turn, but it seems to be very, very far off. Just like a slight itch. But something you can easily ignore. Do you want to take off the chains this month?
No.
Okay. No, we're going to stop the rolls there for just a bit. And I'm going to pause with you. Sarah, what are you doing during your time?
Okay. During my time, I'm going to get those boats, cash those rubber pack boats, sure. Cash them around the hospital, go to Perdition, spend some time with Richard, go to Shannonsburg and do some shopping.
Okay.
And go to Elspethtown, check on my investments and patents and everything, and make sure that all copies are duly registered and noted someplace far, far back east.
Okay.
As well as and make sure that my bank, you know, just make all sure all my personal affairs are in order.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Sarah is insuring her wealth, making sure everything's registered with the company, as you said, in a much safer location. Maybe some of the family holdings.
Yes.
Okay.
Make your wall out to someone who looks just like you.
Okay. So during this time, the doctor has been, you've been helping out at the clinic a little bit as well. And when you go off to check on your investments and come back, you have a slightly awkward dinner, which he has prepared for you. And he has also prepared a proposal for you as well. He has this beautiful engagement ring that he unveils. It comes down through a line of his family. Very beautiful, very old. On bended knee, he proposes to Sarah. He says, dear, I found that there's been a bit of tension around lately. I know you are involved in many incredible, extravagant adventures, and your recent trip away, I found that I've missed your touch about, and I would like us to be husband and wife, to be so that we can be around one another more. Perhaps if this is too small of a place for you, I know a person with such taste in how you were brought up, that this poor little town is possibly just a momentary trifle to your imagination and time. I'm perfectly willing to uproot and take my practice to wherever you would be happiest, my dear.
Richard, I'm flattered. I accept. However, I do have some business that will take 2 or 3 months to wrap up, and then we can see about settling down, and you know, wherever we can discuss that. Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. So Sarah accepts the ring then in the
yep.
post-betrothal. Okay. It makes him very happy.
Okay.
Of course he understands that the time, because you come from a family, a wealthy family back east, and these things must move slow. I'm sure that the preparations for the wedding and the nuptials will take at least 1 year is rushing it for this type of thing, of course. So
yes, of course.
Okay, so you make the doctor very happy. Luke, I think you're going to go back and spend some time with Caledonia, see how things are doing. Her business is booming. She's doing a very, very brisk trade in her bridal endeavors. She's become... not only does she sell all the accoutrements that are necessary, but she does a little bit of the wedding planning and everything else as well. She's in a very large city that can support all of this, so she is doing your not inconsiderable investment of wealth that you allowed her access to. She has more than tripled it at this point. She's proven herself to be a very shrewd businesswoman.
Good. Because Luke isn't.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So, what do you want to do with Caledonia?
Well, I'm not telling her about the flood coming, if that's what you're asking.
Right, right. But you you were saying you were going to take some actions. Are you telling her at all that about anything to be concerned of? Or are you just saying to whatever ranger is nearby that you need to see this person first and make sure this person is safe?
I'll be making all that sort of ranger with the ranger, because I want that on the down low. Because if nothing happens, then, you know, it right. just causes unwarranted panic. So do not cause that.
Yes. And you'll be dead, so.
Well, I may or may not be dead, you know. I can't outweigh the possibility. but the things I need to be doing is seeing Smith and Robust to retune my dispel ability and making my gyrocopter balloon thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough.
I can't remember if we were going to load the field repeating gun on that or not. Can you, anyone remember if we were going to do that?
You that had it was... fixed, and it is operable. Whether or not you have to mount it on there is up to you.
I can't remember.
That was never talked about, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I will say that.
If you want to, then.
It could definitely be done, but you'd be giving up some of its lifting capacity, so that would be taking the place of one potential seat, as it were.
You could use it as thrust as well, if it really does.
Burn all the ammo!
No, if anything, I'd probably put it on the REO Speedwagon.
That could definitely be done.
Yeah. And she has a little sort of pop-up thing. So the hatch opens at the top. Gun raises.
Yeah. You have plenty of time, so I'm not going to make you do any crafting rolls. Oop. You're able to...
sound cut out there.
Can you hear me?
Sound cut out for a moment.
Okay, I'm okay now, though?
Yeah.
Sounding good?
Okay. You have plenty of time, so you don't need to make a roll. You are good enough at your crafting to know when you've done a good or not job, and you've got it... pretty well. Certainly, its lifting capacity will hold the party.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a few more.
Yep. And has it got anchor ropes with it already? I can't remember.
Well, certainly you could add anchor ropes to it.
Yeah. Ropes that we can dangle down to the anchor to something, or people can climb up, and also that we can quickly cut in case the wrong people climb up. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's set, as you wish. Now let's talk about your ray. You said you wanted to retune it. What were you using to retune it?
I was Smith and Robards was going to help me before, so I assume it helped me again.
Yep.
And I had the, what's the name? Grimes Altar Rock. Was it the bullet I had? I can't remember. I think I had one or the other.
Okay.
I think I had the altar.
All right, so you're going to retune it to the frequency that the altar rock is giving off.
Yeah.
Which in your research and with the Smith and Robard boys helping you out is most decidedly a different, as different readings than what you initially set your device for.
Yeah, it's just a different frequency of science. So mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more of the low frequencies, like a really dirty bass.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So that'll take you some time. Yep. Young doing anything special this time?
Not especially. Nothing really to do with the to do with what we're gearing up towards. He's more helping Wimitai.
Right.
And deal with whatever else is going on there. I mean, I presume that we will be going to the Necessity Alliance at some point. Some months ahead of the others, because that's where she wants to be. Before we all split up and go off, I would like to just have, hey, let's have our last meal together for a few months with all of the team together. And who knows, one of you might die in these few months where we're away, and that would be a blow to the team. Who knows? Mm. And yeah, just make a.
What are you saying about your cooking? Out of that.
And then, yeah, go to wherever and, I guess say hello and goodbye to my parents for a while as well, because, and see how they fare.
Okay, sounds good. So you rent out the back room of Red's place, have a nice dinner, and just a little bit before everyone breaks off, and maybe everybody is agreeing to meet at the Necessity Alliance Plateau in June. That gives everyone a few months, or maybe mid June, beginning of July, whichever it is.
Well, I mean, we need to be ready for August, so yeah, and we still got to have to travel there as well. So.
Yep. So we'll let everyone using their own devices to get to the Necessity Alliance Plateau on the given time. So you guys have several months where you're just wrapping up affairs or checking into affairs, etc. before this happens.
Affairs.
Yeah, we're having affairs. Oh, already. So quickly, Sarah. Luke, you get your device recalibrated. You've put the finishing touches on your gyrocopter. How do you get out to the Alliance?
Gyrocopter powered air balloon, of course.
All right, good enough. Sarah, so you spend a little bit of time with the doctor, talking a little bit about the future. He doesn't know a lot about yourself or your family, so maybe having that discussion. Seems that the doctor actually comes from a fairly wealthy family back east as well. They're all lawyers. He was the only doctor in the family.
Okay. Let's see. Is he coming to the Necessity Alliance.
That's
meeting.
Up to how much you want to tell him. To this point, I don't know that he's been privy to a lot of things. Of course, Joker is going to tell him about needing to possibly evacuate quickly come August, but isn't going to give him the particulars.
Okay.
So that's up to you.
I will give him a few more details. And just that, may have to evacuate quickly, and it might be because of something Grimes to do with Grimes and his group. So just wanted to make sure that you're aware of that, just in case you do have to evacuate the town.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. I mean, again, he knows that you, he intimates over your conversation that, he believes that you might be, working, not necessarily as a spy, but you might have some government affiliation that you're going on all these adventures for. And of course, he'll make the suggestion to say, but then say, oh, but of course you couldn't talk about it.
No, probably be retiring by the end of this year, so it would be wonderful to have a nice place and a nice person to settle down with.
Okay, sounds good. As people are saying in the chat too, with your character just picking up the death mask thing, that Sarah is starting to look better and better every day as you're practicing.
That was kind of the idea.
Yes. Sounds good. And so how will you make your way to the Necessity Alliance after taking care of your patents and getting all of the legal paperwork done to make sure that your wealth is intact if anything happens to the area?
Okay. I guess I would go back to Perdition and travel with Joker.
Okay. Joker wasn't actually planning on going to, because, I mean, he's got this town to run.
Okay.
Now, O'Malley would love to go.
Then if O'Malley is there, then I will travel with O'Malley.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to hire a boat, and that's how you guys will make your way out.
Okay.
I can still see you using the Gypsy Queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we could use a Gypsy.
This could be where you could be where you tip off Beauregard that he may want to be landlocked and not out on the boat during this time.
Yeah. Actually, right. That's a perfect opportunity for that.
Sounds good. And Eddie, you're spending your time probably doing a lot of drinking.
I was thinking of going to the town where we found Caledonia. I forget what name that is.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And going to the...
Camden.
Camden. Yep. And, yeah, I was thinking of Perdition. I knew it was wrong. Going to the weaponsmith there and just having my guns taken care of a little bit better and spend some time drinking and shooting there.
Okay, yeah. You know, just a quick over, does some maintenance on them. Yeah, and you and the Norwegian boys get into a bunch of drinking again.
That's the whole idea.
Yes. And how do you eventually make your way back out to the plateau?
Probably a small boat.
All right, fair enough. You can rent a fishing boat, get as close as you can by land and rent a fishing boat out. Not a problem.
If you wanted to, you could say turn up in Chennersburg expecting to get out there with Luke and end up catching a ride with him.
Yep, you can sure. Do that too. All right.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. I don't mind going by air. Mm-hmm. And I'll put my goggles on and hang out the window.
Yeah, just say his face is outside, wind blowing in his face, tongue hanging out.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And Young and Weematai, after you're not really going around anywhere, but you do spend some time with your folks, making sure that. Do you tell them that to be prepared for something, or are you just going to trust to Joker to make sure your family's taken care of?
No, Young does not even think to do so. That is not a thing that crosses his mind at the time.
Okay.
To even make sure. Or if it does, it's too late and he's already on the boat going away from there to the Necessity Alliance.
Okay. Before you leave, you check in at Red's, have a good meal there. Weematai has become partial to one of the cooks there, so you go there every once in a while. And as you're departing one evening, Red hands you a letter and says, Kim got a hold of everyone here, and this was included in the letters addressed to you personally.
Oh, that is interesting. I say, opening it.
Right. Yeah, it's a little intimate letter thanking you for helping her along her way. She aspires to be a great star, and she thinks thinking back over the time and how kind you were to her and what you've done to help. And Young is probably thinking in the back of the mind a couple of times he sabotaged her.
Yeah, I was just thinking. Thank God she doesn't know about the time I stole all her
yes.
money. But anyway, yeah.
Exactly. So it looks like it's made its way through several different postal stops. She seems to be doing fine. She's getting some potential work. She's mentioning about finding religion as well, and talking to some interesting characters she met at a train stop.
Oh dear. Oh well, that will of course not come back to bite us in any way, shape, or form. That is good.
But nothing else really happens. You probably are helping Joker out with a bit of logistics as well as, if something did happen, how best to get people away, what a good safe point is, et cetera.
Well, he's going to have his work cut out for him trying to get me to remember to do any of this stuff or get it right first time or anything, as I have little to no experience in that. But yep. I help where
Sarah,
I can.
About this evacuation.
Yes. Oh, yeah, does Sarah tell everybody that she is she has been proposed to and has accepted before people? That could be something you celebrate on your last meal together.
Yep. Showing off the rock.
Yes.
Oh, they glow slightly green. Is it Ghost Rock infused? Oh, exciting.
Yes, it glows green in the presence of demons. And, you know, it's been green since you've been wearing it. Who knows?
It's such a pretty shade of green.
So it's an emerald.
But only when she's wearing it. Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Mostly, Joker's just asking your opinions on safe places because you have traveled a bit around. And so, you know, it's like, yeah, if we go further inland, you know, how's this spot? Oh, terrible worms there. Okay. Giant beavers here, you say. All right. So just tapping into some of your knowledge that you've had from traveling around the area is mostly what he will use Young for.
The beavers have pelts that you can sell.
Yes.
So they're not that horrible.
Hey, leave the giant beavers alone.
No, you could always use them as, like, beasts of burden. Use them to plow the field.
Or as construction crews. Yes.
That too, yes.
I'm now imagining some sort of thing when the flood comes of everybody riding out to safety on giant beavers.
Ride of the Valkyries playing from the gyrocopter above. Okay, so Young and Weemutai probably make it to the Necessity Alliance first, as you are going to kind of, whoever's left there, basically tell them that you're having a meeting here, that sort of thing. Weemutai, you know, agrees to this whole thing as well, because her studies has been lacking since she has taken up with the party, and so she'd like to get back to her.
You say that, but she's become a lot more powerful over the past few months with us than she ever was during her studies.
She also seen tombs of great people and exercised mm-hmm. spirits from there, or helped leave them to rest or whatever.
Yeah. She misses the meditation weed and wishes to go back. And, yes. All right, so you guys arrive first. And yes, I've got the map up here again. The camp is pretty much there. Most of the tents are down. Most of the Braves have gone away. Born in a Bowl is still there with a small contingent of men and women, mostly the elderly and children, but a few Braves still around. And they seem to come and go. You know, and of course, Born in the Bowl seems to know already of Weemutai's condition and greets her just very happily, pats her stomach, smiles pretty broadly at Young, and tells you, "I see great things coming from this child. Great things. Great horrible things." Okay. All right. Yeah, so when you're made at home, you are given a teepee to set up in. So what do you tell her about what to expect, who's coming, etc.?
Pretty much. I mean, Weemutai has been in as many meetings as I have, so as much as I can really remember, and then Weemutai can fill in the blanks about what's going on. I mean, does she remember her vision as well? Because I know she was taken over for part of it by not Eyes Like Fire. Other one.
The other one, yes.
I cannot remember off the top of my head whose skull we went and found, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does remember it as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, then, yeah. Hey, we're enacting that thing that is going on there. There is going to be a great shifting of the earth or whatever else it is that it is going to happen there. So
you were able to enlist the power of the earth spirits. I did not think such a thing was still possible in times as they are, that the connection to the land has been lost for a while. This is good. The ancestors, their spirits are upon you. Did Young bleed on all seven glyphs?
I don't know that any of us bled on all seven. I mean, I certainly bled on as many as I can. I can't remember.
Luke did, but I don't know if it counted for every single case. I think there's one time he bled on mine after Young had already done it, and I don't know if it still counted for him. But Luke said he has.
I can't remember a time where any of us specifically said, we don't bleed on this glyph.
Apart, well, there's
from,
lots of
when, apart from when people had not bled on any glyphs at all, mm-hmm. up until a point. Yeah. Eddie hadn't when we weren't...
Yeah, you're in Shan Fan, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the outskirts.
Eddie had not because Chris had not joined us yet.
Right.
And
right.
It was a conscious decision on Sarah's part not to bleed on it for a long while. Yeah. So
did Young go down to the cave with the water splashing up? Oh, yeah, he did because of the water.
Yeah, he did.
Anything that was in a cave was a cut my hand, run in with my eyes closed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Run into walls, smear blood over something.
The cave just outside Shanfan with that dual guardian thing. I think Young did it first, and then Luke went to do it and sort of didn't get the same reaction. So I don't know if it counted or not, but certainly Luke has done it all.
I bring it up because on my notes, next to each of the glyphs that you've uncovered, I have down that both Young and Luke have at each of the sites. But I have down that Sarah and Eddie have not at each of the sites. So I wanted to make sure that jived with your memory as well.
Yeah,
Eddie only because you weren't there for some of them, but you had subsequently.
Right. If I was there, I did.
Yep.
But if I wasn't...
And I didn't because I couldn't, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, after you died, you were reluctant to show up in things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Born in a Bowl, when you're describing all this, she kind of touches your face just very lightly, and she says, "Yes, I see. I feel the power of the Earth spirits imbued in you."
Oh, I thank you.
She looks a little, she's not really. Just kind of looks, stares at you very hard for a moment, and she says, "The burden of the power, the spirits of the earth is a heavy one, and it's not always bringing glad tidings. But you are touched with it. Whether this will bode well for you, I cannot say. My vision—I have not had visions since the last time we met, other than," and she smiles again over at Wimitai, "other than the child that will be born."
Hmm. Okay, is there anything extra we need to prepare for then? Extra medicine weed around for when it comes? Or more water or towels or something?
She says, "We have all we need here. She will be safe here. You intend to leave her in my care?"
"I believe Wimitai has made the decision to be here. It is not for me to say where she goes and does not go."
Yeah, she looks a little grudgingly at that. The anger flashes in her eyes for a moment, and she says, if I cannot be side by side in battle with my mate, then here is where I wish to be."
I lost internet connection here for a brief amount of time. The recording picks up when the internet is stable again and everyone is back on.
Are you there now, Bert?
Yeah, there's big thunder clap outside. Apparently got a flash flood warning, but the rain didn't start yet. But then after that, my internet was dead.
I said it was the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just looking up. I don't know whether you saw further up in the thing. Somebody said, "What's the weather like where Bert is?" And so I typed into Google, "Bert's area weather." Rather than Virginia Black.
Sharon just stepped away for a moment, so that's why she hasn't answered.
What was the last thing you heard?
Something about cats.
Okay, let us know when the server's up.
Yeah, I gotta get going again. Give me a second.
Yeah.
Wimitai wasn't happy about staying.
Oh, yeah, okay. So what I said that might have got cut off was, if I can't be in battle with my mate, and she kind of pats her stomach as if to say, "When you're older, I'm going to blame you for this." that this would be the place she would choose to be.
I'm happy to take you anywhere else if you would prefer.
Okay. Oh, my. Looking at the weather to see what that was all about. Flash floods, 3 inches in one. Oh, my. Okay, so if I go off again and don't come back on in like a couple of minutes, that's why.
Do you have one of those backpack rubber boats?
I'm in the mountains, so I don't really have to worry about flooding other than the massive amount of rain that comes down. It's not going to pool or anything. Yeah, it's crazy. Big thunder strike outside, but there's not any rain yet. It just sounds like it's coming. You guys bled on the ground too early.
Yeah, I mean, if all it was taking was us bleeding on the ground, then we probably got accidentally shot or something on the way.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
I think we either arranged that.
You said, no, it has to be with intent.
Yep.
Yeah. As my... When some random pro down town, you just called me, you bastard! I called down the phone on you!
In the middle of Utah.
I mean, there's no reason. We've got months. There's no reason somebody couldn't go out somewhere and say, hey, we're going to test this and see how far the flood actually goes. And then we could just go around and blood the Seven Cliffs again. Because pretty much all of the stuff is gone anyway.
Some of these cliffs we can't get back to again easily.
Yep. Some of them were either caved in or...
Here's a question for folks. Does it have to be within... Does the bleeding on the ground have to be within Grimes's area? Like, does it need to be something like on the...
I gather, because that's where the center point's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Where
you bleed is the center point, so, yeah.
So it should be in the cathedral, then.
Yep.
Or close, yeah.
Ideally, yeah. Actually, we were, from what we saw inside the cathedral, is there actually dirt there, or is it all concrete up, or do we think it's going to be a difference?
I'm sorry, say that again, James.
Inside the church itself,
mm-hmm.
Was there actually exposed dirt, and does it actually matter if we bleed on concrete or we actually have to bleed on dirt?
You have to bleed on the bare ground, and yes, it did have a floor.
Ah, so jackhammers then?
I don't know if doing it just outside, maybe. It was a garden with a fountain and stuff, so that might count.
So Blood in the Bowl's description again was, stand at Grimes Cathedral while the 13 feast and you will destroy them all. You must spill your own blood on the raw soil.
Yeah. So we can't be inside it unless we've lifted up a page stone or two.
Exploded it with dynamite.
Yeah. Throw a grenade, then went boom. Dirt.
Look, dirt everywhere.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if you do bleed just outside the church, the flood isn't really going to be that discriminatory. I hope not, at least. Okay, we're going to flood exactly this one spot here and nowhere else.
Well, it might cause a huge upspringing from the ground of water just coming out of nowhere. We don't know.
Actually, that's a interesting point. Maybe we should search and see if there's any old... maps or plans, like maybe if the cathedral has been resized, reshaped, there might be a
bear. There was not a cathedral there before, I don't think.
No, it was
built. It, yeah.
Built new.
I doubt the maps will be available on that.
That's true.
And they did not provide maps to the Zoning Commission of Los Angeles.
They are.
And there's Zoning Commission. There's no like legends of any crypts or anything under the cathedral, are there?
You know, you really wouldn't know. I mean, pretty much unless you were a member.
Yeah.
Well,
you still working on the server, Bird? Or?
Oh, it's up. Sorry, people are already connecting.
Oh, okay.
Just give it a moment. When everyone connects, everything slows down for just a bit.
It's a flood of data.
Yes. Hi. Give me.
Yeah, it looks like it's good now.
Okay, it's still connecting for me.
Yeah, give it a
bit. Just give it a bit.
Oh, and you got restarted the recording.
Yes, I've restarted. Okay, so you tell them to expect some white folk.
Matias
says they're not as bad as most, but, you know.
When they turn up, I mean, if you do not wish them on your grounds here, we can go down to meet them at the base of the cliff
instead. Yeah, I'm going to be landing somewhere where there's plenty of space for my gyrocopter to land. So
yeah, you'll have plenty of...
may not be down by the dock.
Attacked by horrible people coming in.
Yeah.
A gyrocopter. No.
The top of the mesa doesn't have as many tents as you see up there now, so you have a good area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hi, how you doing? Why are you shooting arrows at us?
Anywhere where there isn't a tent is now claimed by Yong and Wimitai as their area.
Okay, we're landing in your backyard then.
We'll charge you rent. Parking fees.
Right. She's fine with it. You know, as long as these people are known to you, it's not an issue. She will have, you know, again, as I described, it's mostly the women, the children, the elderly that are still here with just some braves around. Mostly they're bringing game. They're bringing food back and forth to support, what tribe is left here. This is something of home base, but again, it's pretty much desolate now. Down to there's about 30 people here, give or take, making up those women and children and elderly. But she will let everyone know and spread it around, and she will start creating a feast. Such talk requires a full stomach, and. She will prepare, and she will tell the others to expect some company. Probably, so the next arrival will probably be Luke and Eddie coming from the skies.
Mm-hmm.
You touch down well enough. The villagers are a little odd at the spectacle.
My piloting's at E6 now.
You don't need to roll unless there's like any issues or anything. So
yeah, I'm just saying you're good getting the hang of it. E6, so,
getting the hang of it. Yes. you do find that it's perfectly good, works perfectly well in normal weather conditions, but when it gusts a bit, and you certainly wouldn't want to be flying this thing in the rain.
I'm sure that won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Is this going to be the first time that we have seen it functional as well?
Yep. It's a mixture of the air balloon that Wimper Norton gave us and
that
the gyrocopter.
You will notice the balloon, because the balloon is it's that very colorful dragon shaped air sac. So you've seen that before.
So yeah,
yes, you have seen the balloon before.
I think they're on our side, but be ready just in case, guys.
Well, it's the dragon, so it has to be. Obviously.
Oh, dragon. Yeah. Let them in, no matter who they are. I welcome them.
All right. So you make a landing. It's not that gyrocopters and things like that are unheard of, but they're certainly not very common. So the populace here is like ooing awing. A lot of the children run out once you've made landing.
Oh, just once we find
everybody tells them about the old ways and how, hey, these horrible things are what is destroying our land. And...
oh no, they're all about dragon.
It's not going to be like 5 minutes before the others turn up, I'll probably, you know, give them rides and stuff. Whee!
I hear if you beat the dragon, it spits forth candy.
Not this one, kid.
No. That's a piñata. That's in Mexicali. And it spits forth tequila. Not candy, tequila.
All right. Yeah. I mean, if you're indulging the children, they have a fun day of it.
Sure. Why not?
The elders look on it a bit concerned, but, everyone is safe and sound when you bring them back. And some of the elders actually, yes. You're learning to control it a little bit more.
Yeah. So, exactly. This is going to be a valuable learning experience to drive and stuff with, especially with a full load.
Mm-hmm.
People who don't know how to move around in airships.
Right. Okay, so you make a big entrance, everyone ooing and aahing over it. Sarah, you will arrive last. Beauregard remembers the place quite well. What do you tell him in warning about not being out in the chasms and such of the area during the time? Because after all, I mean, he is a sailor, you know, so telling a sailor secrets doesn't generally work too well. But so what do you tell him?
The weather predictions for the area for the, I give him a 2 to 3 day range in August, mm-hmm. suggests there might be some really massive flooding and high waves.
So, you know, I'd say if you don't see anything by about the 23rd or the 24th of August, then it's safe. But from the 22nd to the 21st on of August, you might want to keep your ship, a little far away. They're predicting some very big waves.
All right. Yeah, he's like, I didn't know you were into that whole meteorological thing. Generally, predictions don't pan out too well here on the coastline. He scratches his head a bit. He's like, I see a concern, ma'am. And certainly you've been a good customer of mine, so I don't want to gainsay ye any, but that is one of my most profitable times of the year. You sure about this?
As I said, if you don't see anything by the 23rd or the 24th, then it's pretty bogus. They're predicting it to happen between the 22nd and the 24th. So you might just want to keep your eyes open and be just.
Ooh, you're snapping a little there on your microphone. Give me a persuasion roll.
Okay.
Is your disc mask on?
Yeah, it should be. So minus now that two. Would give. No wait. So death mask would give me -2 on the persuasion roll.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's used to see it. I don't need it with him. He's used to seeing me that way.
Yep.
So up to you.
Yeah. And do they know that Sarah is dead?
No.
Do they understand?
Do not. Mm-hmm. And at this point, since Sarah's death wound is not immediately obvious, the largest sign that there's anything wrong with her is that her skin tends to look a little dry, and she has a smell, which she does use perfume, which has been said before, to hide that. Even with a -2, if you did want to keep the mask on, though, this was mostly to see how convincing you were about it being weather related versus you're trying to hide something, really. But you know, he's like, "Oh yes, I suppose I could put into port and use that time to look at my cargo manifest for the time coming up. You all been very good to me. I couldn't afford this new boat without you. And that mechanic friend of yours, you tell him that my engines are still working." Just fine.
I'll do that.
As he gets buzzed by an aerocopter.
He'll give you a hand down to the beach landing and offer, he's still a little concerned about this, being redskin territory here, as he puts it. He says, except for that one that travels with you, of course. She's okay, mostly. You gonna be safe here, ma'am? I can send some of the boys with you.
Oh, no, I should be fine. No. I should be fine.
Remember, Joker's there. I know, Lacey O'Malley's there as well.
Lacey is with her, yep.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
These are friendlies.
Mm-hmm. Well, very well. You gonna, should I come back by and give you a lift back? I mean, I can swing back by in a day or two if you need.
What do you think, Lacey? Day or two?
He shrugs and says, well, with those that we've invited along, I'm sure we can get a ride to wherever we're going. Need not trouble this, young man again.
Yeah, okay, certainly then. Nah, there's no need for it.
Yeah, he's suspicious of Lacey just because he's a writer, you know. people that make a living writing words, you can't trust those people.
That's true, you can't always, but this one's trustworthy enough.
So that's, well... If you insist, ma'am. And again, he helps you off to the landing there before they set sail.
Okay.
All right, so you and Lacey are next, and you are the last of the group to arrive before your invited guests come. And they all come in various boats here and there that are left at the dock. Most of them come in, they'll tell you once they get up. Anyone meet them down at the dockside? You can definitely tell when they come. I mean, you from the top of the plateau, you've got a good, complete viewpoint of the ocean around, so you know when boats are coming or going. Anyone come down to the bottom to meet them?
The point is, I guess, nobody knows who these people are until one of us identifies them. So it's sort of, hey, tell us when somebody's coming, and we'll come and look and tell you whether they're all right or not. And then, all right. Go down and meet that one.
Three small boats make a landing, and you immediately recognize Court Williams is in one of the boats. Sarah, your brother, is in another. You don't recognize the people getting out of the third, but they all seem to know each other.
Are they... I'll be down there, and do they look like they're from people from the grid?
You don't know, because it's not like they've got a distinctive appearance, smell, or et cetera, and you've not met these people before. But they seem to know Court and your brother, Sarah. Okay. Yeah. So let's say, Eddie, that you're down at the beachside when they all come down. Court comes over. He recognizes you, gives you a firm handshake, and he says, "Well, rounded up those that are necessary here. Each of these men command a small troop of others. So whatever we decide here, he's like, we can get a small force of men to do what needs to be done. Everyone else here? Oh, let me make you some introductions. So there's five men that come off the third boat, including the person who was captaining the boat as well. This here is Captain Jaeger, and Captain Jaeger produces a business card. Business card matches the one that you use to summon the men of the grid.
Okay.
Good. And Captain Jaeger says, these are the men that I supervise here. Each of these men control a small force as well. This youngin' here, and he pushes a very effeminate-looking young man. He's maybe in his late teens, but certainly not in his 20s yet. Dressed very nice, like a very, you know, very stylish back east sort of look. His hat is kind of at a rakish angle with a plume in it that's very colorful. You're thinking peacock, perhaps. He looks a little white in the face. He says, "Don't mind the young boy. He's not got his sea legs beneath him." And
I'm going to hold out my hand, shake his hand, pull out a bottle, my hip flask, and hand it to him.
"Oh, thank you, sir." He takes a triple A, I take it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He says, "Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm not very accustomed to boat travel." He looks around. He looks around at the beach. He says, not a very hospitable place. You have lodgings for us?" And the captain says, "The boy here is a son of a man that we're particularly going to need the help of that resides within Los Angeles still. The young boy's been away from his father for a while, but he will be a familiar face to be able to get assistance from inside, if that..."
Okay. I'm going to
Jacob. He shakes your hand. Jacob Lassiter.
Eddie Goff. I said, "Yes, there is lodging here. May not quite be what you're used to, but these are good people."
"Oh, that, I'm sure. I'm sure they are. It's all for the cause, right?" He kind of gives you a very weak smile. He's still looking very pale.
I'm going to say, "Have you heard of the Black Cloaks?"
"Oh, of course."
"Okay.
I'm well versed in the hierarchy of the church. It is one of the things that my my father often passes." "Oh, I should give you these." And he takes out, it's a small, like a billfold, and it's full of notes. Some of them are like from Telegram, you know, they're printed out from a Telegram service. Mm-hmm. Some of them are handwritten, and he just hands you the sheaf of them. He says, "My father has been in constant communication. Back east, it is one of the few places that the church has not got many of their apostles about, although they do come now and then, of course. But it was seen he sent me away as a very young man to be schooled and educated there. And I've been in touch with them. He sends me these documents now and then, strategies, bits and pieces of information that he has been able to glean from the church. Here, please."
I'll gladly take them. Take the whole packet, look at it, stuff it in my shirt.
Just looking through them, it's the misses are coming from several years. So, like they date back over a fair amount of time.
That's fine. I'll read them when I get time.
"And it seems I've been convinced to come along because to get to my father's help, my smiling face is one that he will recognize and to be able to understand to be a friendly. I'm afraid that my father has grown a bit in the time that he has been undercover within the church, has become a bit afraid of those presenting friendship without a correct pedigree, you understand. That would be my greatest use for you, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It is my duty to my family.
Oh, and you were saying perhaps a bite of eat and a roof over this blazingly hot sun?
I chuckle and say, absolutely.
Yeah.
knowing that up top there's teepees and not a roof.
Yes.
Per se.
The captain just kind of shakes his head. He's got a kind of a smile on his face, though. You figure he's been giving the kid a hard time the whole way.
I bet.
So, everybody procession up the hill. All the traps and the deadfalls and the rolling boulders and everything are still there and still intact. You are able to get through, of course, just fine.
So Isaac Bell isn't there?
Isaac has not arrived yet.
Now, Bert, it was the black cloaks that people have, just mythical.
Yes, they're a color of their organization that is more heard of than seen, and supposedly very high within the organization of the church.
And that's the one that I pretended to be.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had that correct.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So a large structure has been set up for your talking and convenience. Several tents have been kind of woven together. Even in this the heat off the California coast as it is, there's still a raging bonfire inside. Of course, it's a sweat lodge setting. This is where the traditional way that they are commune between tribes and groups. So very uncomfortable for poor Jacob as he goes up. But beverages and meats that have been brought in are all set up. Most of the villagers have. So you guys are encamped over here. That's right. I can't do a blink on this thing. Kind of right here where Luke's icon is. You're over here.
Are you sharing the maps?
Here, I'll reshare it.
Okay. I want to keep feeding Jacob alcohol, telling him that this will keep him cool. Just the more he drinks, the cooler he'll feel. Basically get him loaded.
Oh, yes. He's got quite a tolerance, though, but he keeps up with it. All right, so here is Young's icon. Most of the villagers are completely on the other side of the encampment to give you privacy, and also because you've got a lot of people here that are traditionally...
I was thinking for a moment, that's where they put you and your pregnant wife. They've set you aside from the rest of the community, but you mean just for this meeting?
Yes.
I thought you were saying, you can't live over there now. Okay.
All right. So structure set up, and you guys are still waiting for Isaac, who you expected to be here. Court tells you that that's how he and Mr. Beauchamp got instructed to be here. Is Isaac sent them the message, and they got the idea that he was supposed to be here. They haven't been in communication since they left, though. Perhaps he'll surprise us. They noticed the gyrocopter nearby. Isaac's been known to use such contraptions.
Is Born in the Bowl nearby?
Yes. Until you're ready to have your powwow, she is being hostess.
I almost want her to be part of the damn powwow at this point. Okay, is there any way you can determine if Isaac Bell is still... to be blunt, alive? Was he gone over to the Dreaming Lands? Or?
She thinks about it for a minute and says, do you have something of his, personal item of his, something that he's touched recently?
I look over at the others, not long.
Court says, well, I've got this. He hands over one of the newfangled ballpoint pens. He says, it's monogrammed. It's got Isaac's monogram on it. He says, when I saw him last, he signed some forms. He needed me to sign it, and I forgot to give this back to him. Will this do? She looks at it for a minute. She hasn't really seen one of these before. It kind of tastes the ink on the end. She says, well, perhaps, if you will allow, I will allow you, gentlemen, please have the freedom of the Alliance. So you may come and go as you wish. This spot has been sanctified for your powwow. I'll leave you be. If I find out the information on your friend, I'll let you know. And she'll go away for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm suspicious, I'm going to say. That's what I'll say if people look at me and go, why do you want to do that? I'm just suspicious.
Just by nature these days.
Yeah.
Oh, Dragon, by the way, the entire time you've been here, he hasn't really wanted to set foot on the ground. He's pretty much been adamant about staying on the gyrocopter. Oh. If you forced him, he wants to climb onto you and doesn't want to touch the ground.
Yeah, well, I'm used to riding on my shoulder. fish, come on, Dragon.
Oh, he'll eat just fine. He says he doesn't want to be on the ground for some reason.
Ah, no idea.
So where does he sleep?
On the gyrocopter. Or in the gyrocopter.
Yeah.
All right, so festivities about, and everyone's getting settled in. Tasty beverages and food. It is just incredibly hot, by the way. The fire in here is designed to make you sweat. Steam is added every once in a while. Probably by Wimatai, as she knows what the rites are. She's burning some sage as well, which is making everybody's head swoon just a little bit. Just blazingly hot. Tent flaps are open to the breeze of the air occasionally just to air things out. But yeah, it's everyone's feeling just a little oppressed. The alcohol is also taking to effect as well. Wimatai will explain to Young just a matter of passing is like it's to promote truth amongst those that speak here. It is harder to lie when one is feeling like this.
Oh. Okay. We'll be quiet now.
So this goes on for a bit. Everyone seems to be waiting to see if Isaac will turn up before. And this is the appointed day, by the way. This is when everyone's supposed to be nearby. So he starts to get into the evening. And then night comes and still no sign of Isaac. Born of the Bull does come back. She hands the pin back to Court and to Luke. She will say, your friend still resides in the mortal realm. He's not past the veil. Although, actually, give me just a second. I'm afraid the connection to this material is not very strong. I could tell no more other than that he is still alive.
Well, Jim, I suggest we get on with it, and if he's able to join us, all the better, but we can't be one person going to let us not go ahead.
Jacob is going in and out. He's gotten very drunk. His Eddie keeps plying him with alcohol, and he's just gotten very sleepy. So he's just kind of in and out of sleep a little bit. All right, so Court says, well, looking at his watch, it doesn't seem that our friend Isaac is making a show, though Mr. Beauregard, Mr. Beauchamp and myself are able to speak for your agency in this matter.
Yes, so let us proceed.
Why did you call this shindig?
Sorry. Who was the individual representing who was did not have his sea legs?
Oh, Jacob Lasseter. He's the son of one of the men that are still firmly ensconced within the city of Los Angeles as one of their...
You are one of the men of the world.
Yes.
Do you have something to prove this at all, in any way, shape, or form?
Well, we have ways to distinguish members of our group to ourselves, and don't expect it'll mean much to you. What would you like to know? I can possibly answer any question you might have that was told you in confidence by a member of the grid.
Well, how did you find out?
He just kind of shrugs. He points to you, to Luke, or to, sorry, to Eddie, and says, "Well, I gave your friend there a business card from a man that you used to contact us with."
I nod and say, "Yep, I got the card. It's who we dealt with."
Afraid there's not much in the way that I can provide as modifieds other than any truth-telling statement you might put forth to me. I don't know you, group. I was instructed to come here by the man on the card.
Well, and the name on the card is the son of the original founder.
Yep.
Okay. Well, there we go. Yes. Okay.
I mean, you do know some questions you could ask if you want. You can just give me a smarts roll to remember any conversation you had with Men of the Grid, and just see if he could answer anything from what you were told. Anybody in the party can do that. I'm not picking out just young.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't believe I was actually there for the Men of the Grid conversation, so that would be pretty silly for me to make that role.
Yeah.
I could ask him about dragons. Ask him about dragons! Okay. No, it is just you are unknown to us.
As you are to us, but we're put to believe that you might be able to free Los Angeles and reinstitute, how things were meant to be before Mr. Grimes took over. So we're all for that. The three men that came with him are like, you're here. Jacob is unconscious. Well, he's not unconscious. He's just nodding off all the alcohol.
As we intimated to whatever the chap's name was, we can deal with Grimes, but can't say anything about the state of Los Angeles afterwards.
Well, if you can deal with Grimes, you can always rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hear, hear. Raise the hip flask. Rebuild.
That brings Jacob out of his stupor, and he's like, hear, hear. He just sticks out his cup to be filled again.
Fill it up. I mean, I'll keep refilling it.
Make it better, faster, stronger.
Exactly.
All right. So, everyone seems to be looking at you to lead this thing off.
What do you guys know about August 23rd?
Court and Mr. Beauchamp kind of look at each other and says, how free are we to talk? Kind of glancing over at the five men that are part of the Men of the Grid.
I was hoping that these men, and I point to the five, would be willing to say what they know.
Lassiter actually stands up a little bit. He seems to take a moment. He looks like he's about to retch. He controls himself admirably, and he seems a little inebriated, but not too bad. He says, well, it's the date, isn't it? That's when all of Hell's children return for their yearly gathering. So my father says, I was too young to remember it myself before I was sent off. The other men of the grid kind of nod and say, yes, the temple is sealed off. Grimes and his disciples come and they do some kind of reunion, some meeting the next morning. Temples are opened again. There's usually big feasting afterwards. And let's see here. One of the guys starts to whisper to the captain of the group. And he says, no, we're amongst friends here. Anything you have to say to me, you can say to them. The man kind of says, well, I've lived in Los Angeles for quite a while. Of course, I pay lip service to the temple as most do. It's kind of what you need to do to live there. But I've been there long enough to know that, it's more than just the ceiling of the temple. When Grimes's 13 apostles, come, the streets are closed down some as well, particularly that aisle. Have you been to Los Angeles? You know, that main road that stretches right up to the temple from the docks? It's usually secured. The populace are told we got an earlier curfew that night. I'm assuming someone else comes as well, or something is brought. I've seen it the last 3 years. He kind of shrugs.
Seen what?
Well, them sealing off the roads, and I've seen the ship come. I kind of hide myself, and I watch. It's part of my job. I'm supposed to keep notes of the Reverend's activities and such. And some people come from the boat. Usually somebody got a hood on, and they got to carry him. He kind of shrugs. It's happened the last few years, anyway.
Wait, somebody comes that has a hood on and they have to carry.
Yeah.
Is it... Are you sure it is a person? Could it be a body?
He thinks about it. No, definitely a person. They can move on their own feet. They just seem to need a little help. Maybe an elderly person? Don't know why they'd have a hood over them. Maybe it's part of their ritualism or something. Coming as the blind to the place of salvation, maybe? You know, the whole biblical healing of the infirmed? Maybe it has something to do with the rite that they perform at the temple. You got to be pretty far up in the organization to be invited to that. I'm certainly not.
Do you know of the other 12 that come?
There's 13 apostles.
Right, but I'm figuring this is probably one.
Oh, no, 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 no. They come all separate from this. This is something else.
And Grimes is already there?
Yes. The Grimes and the 13 are already gone.
So this is
like
15th plus
14th. Yeah, no, you're right.
13 plus the one. Yeah, though there's more than that just there. I mean, they got some of the higher-ups in the council are there. I'm not part of the church per se. I mean, I'm a congregation goer, but I'm not in the church, as it were. But we hear those black cloaks come out to this thing too. Maybe that's what the man is. You know about black coats? You've seen the colors, right? Whites, the reds, golds. They got another one, a black. You don't see too many of those.
I smile and say, yeah, I know about the black cloak. Fun times.
Jacob, again, holding back a belch with perhaps more behind that, points again at you, Eddie, and says, have you had a time to go over my father's missives? Perhaps he has more of it in there. I believe I'm in need of a refill.
I will definitely fill up this cup. I would assume that while waiting for Isaac to come, I went through the paperwork.
Okay. Yep. A lot of it is his accounts of snooping into the organization. You get the idea that the person is he is in the organization. He's probably at least red cloak level, which would be a commander, a force commander. But he does intimate that there are other rites and rituals that are performed by people above him that he is not privy to. Gives you, you know, there's lots of information about certain rituals that are performed, etc. There's a large firsthand account of Grimes producing two angels that gave sacrament to a large crowd. This is several years ago. Nothing in particular about the 23rd. Meeting though, other than to say much what his son or much like this other man was saying that the streets are cleared, the temple's locked from sunrise to sunset over August 23rd before the temple's opened again, and then usually the next day is a large feasting day.
Is there any mention about people coming, some of the lowers coming in saying that they met a black cloak that told them that everything was okay?
No. It looks like the last message sent out by this person's father was a couple of months ago.
Damn. That would have been great.
And they're not regular, by the way, so like a couple of months gap doesn't seem to be unusual. Going back to reading through the letters, some of the letters are like a year apart. Some of them are, you know, weeks apart. It doesn't seem to be any particular schedule.
Okay.
He's just passing on information to a safe spot in case something happens to him, as he reiterates many times. But from it, you guys can gain some information. I mean, you got an idea of how the troop structure works. You have the idea that Los Angeles barracks is at any point, depending on where you are in the city, they could bring as many as 50 people to bear very quickly. Total force size in Los Angeles is somewhere around 800 men. And that's just those that are considered to be like their police, quote unquote, not including the faithful that would do anything that Grimes or any of his men would ask them to do. You also have, just as far as like, if you were wanting to do an assault on the place, he does give out troop dispositions, how many people rotate in and out of the normal gates, key places to come in and out, by the way. Los Angeles has three gates, one dockside and then one to the east and one to the west. But there are other ways to get in. There are drainage tunnels that are used. There are sewer tunnels, that could be used. There are old mine shafts that the men of the grid use, on occasion. So you have all that information. You've got ways to get in and out if you needed to. He provides a couple of like freehand sketched maps for some of the more intricate passages.
Oh, this is awesome. This is going to make it so much easier.
But really not enough information on what goes on from sunrise to sunset at the church, other than it is considered a holy day.
meaning people are not supposed to eat during that time from sunset or sunrise to sunset, and then the next day is a big feast.
Is there like a detailed or a relatively detailed map of the church?
Yes. Actually, there's a greatly detailed map, not only showing just the layout of the church, etc., but some hidey holes here and there.
That's really good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, from it, though, there's not really any easy way in or out of the church other than the front doors. There is nothing beneath the church, like, so there's no way to get in. It also gives you the idea that there's no subterranean passages, at least nothing that his father was privy to. And it looks like he spent some significant amount of time trying to find ways in and out of the church. There are places to hide in the church. There are secret passages in the church that would allow a person to listen to conversations in various rooms. But essentially, to get into the church, there's the front doors. And that's pretty much it.
How about from above?
There are cathedral windows, stained glass windows all the way up. None of them are built to be opened. They do have like air slits that provide airflow through the cathedral, but they're not big enough for a person to slide into. So you've got plenty of glass that you can get through if you wanted to go from to go up to down, but there's nothing that opens easily. You'd have to break it or cut it.
Sounds like we have to go in the day before and hide. And then come out and surprise them.
Yeah.
Other points of interest. I threw up a diagram of the church before. I don't think I could find it again in my image library here, but around the church, it's all grasslands, rock outcroppings. There was a small cemetery to the rear. Church floor is stone.
Flagstones are one solid piece.
Flagstone.
Crowbars then too.
Okay, so yeah, this is you're going just over the information in your head that you learned from that. So yeah, everyone else is pretty like, so why are we gathered here? Something's going on during the holy day. This is one of the men of the grid talking. Is that when you're going to strike Reverend Grimes? Makes sense.
There is a good possibility of something happening, and we want to make sure all the innocents that are in the city could possibly have a chance of getting out before harm.
Already out.
Or already get out.
Okay, so yeah, they think about this for a minute. It's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to shell the place? Cannons?
Something that devastating, yeah.
Do we tell them? I mean...
Court speaks up a bit, you know, as he says... we'd already verified through questioning here that none of these men have ever indulged in the sacrament of Grimes. And all the men kind of nod their heads. It's like, yep, we pretend, but we're all told that taking any of anything offered by Grimes puts you under his control in some way, shape, or form.
Sarah, what do you suggest? Do we tell them what our plans are?
Well, we found out that if we can take out all those apostles, basically, pretty much at the same time, Grimes, as you can imagine, Grimes' powers will be broken. However, he's got a sort of fail-safe sort of in there that'll, it could trigger anything that could possibly trigger an earthquake.
Some of the men kind of talk back and forth. Says, earthquakes. Grimes has such power. He's demonstrated before. Right, anybody else want to speak up? To this point, yeah. I mean, you really haven't detailed what your plans and what you need them for.
I'll stand up and go. You know how after it rains, there's puddles in the road, and the wagon comes by and runs through the puddle and splashes everybody? Well, Lost Angels is going to be the puddle. We're going to be the wagon wheel, and mud's going to fly everywhere. And we want to make sure that only the people that get splashed are the people that should get splashed. And everybody who shouldn't get splashed should be far away. got it. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, there's some looks between the different groups, and they say, how, what? Who do we rescue? I mean, most of the people that live in Los Angeles are the faithful. They're not going to want to be rescued.
Well, then those aren't the people that get rescued.
there's some looks between the men of the grid. He says, oh, look, not all those people. These are not all bad folks. They've just been taken in by a charlatan of a man that, I mean, it's hard to turn down a meal when you're going hungry. It doesn't make a man evil.
When they are part of the flock, they become evil. Well, they become the ones that are going to get splashed on. You know, what you can do is just say possibly there might be something special going on that people who want to leave, who don't want to be involved in it, should leave. And the ones that stay, you know, they chose to stay, and the ones that left chose to leave. It's only gonna be for a day or two.
Court speaks up, says, well, wouldn't that tip off our hand if we started going in and telling people they need to leave? I mean, I don't think you can keep something like that quiet or under wraps. Even if you talk to those that were not necessarily the faithful.
Hey, cat. Dragon, leave him alone.
Or could plant a rumor. What would happen if a rumor were to be spread that there was going to be something from the populace on that date? Would the city would reaction be to clear the city of anyone suspect of faithlessness?
Pardon me, guys, for just 1 minute.
Kitty cat. Gotta help the kitty cat.
Meow.
Damn dragon influencing all the cats around. Mm.
The reason Luke hasn't been explicit is because he doesn't think anyone will believe him.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that maybe we do this another way rather than for Los Angeles, rather than warn people that they might not want to be there. Tell the faithful that something's going to happen. Coming from the people of less faith, but only if the reaction would be more likely to clean the city.
I see it being cleaned at the city in a very blood-soaked way.
That's an idea.
Well, what about spreading two rumors? One that the populace is going to rise up, so that the faithful want to get rid of the populace, and one that the faithful is going to exterminate the unfaithful. So the populace wants to leave.
If it's a special anniversary, like it's the 100th anniversary or 50th anniversary or something, we might be able to swing something like that. But if it's just a general, it's just the next year, then.
Well, I mean, people come out to celebrate stuff on every year anyway.
Yeah, but you always know the big round numbers always seem more special.
Yeah, but what number is this? And can
that's
we
what I'm saying. If it is that, then we can possibly tie into that. But I don't know.
Well, we can probably say it's just some type of special religious number.
Yeah, we don't know their religion well enough to counter that sort of thing, whereas big round numbers always appeal to
people.
We have
people here
who can answer those questions.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. Apparently the raining had started pretty heavy out here, and one of the cats was caught outside. And yeah. We got her back in. And the internet didn't drop again, which is good.
Yes.
All right, sorry. What were you saying?
Okay, discussing planting one or possibly two rumors. One that those of less faith are planning something against the more faithful, and another that the faithful are planning on purging the city of the less faithful. Which would the idea being for the faithful to get the less faithful to leave the city.
There's some nods, and then some of the men of the grid contingent say, that could work. I'd say that ramifications would be that Grimes would be more... security would be higher, and I think he would try and stop people from leaving, because those people that are there now are supposed to be the faithful. I mean, you can't live there without proclaiming to have some faith in the church. So if people started trying to leave all of a sudden, he would see them as blasphemers that have accepted his bounty, but now are turning their backs on him. It wouldn't be seen as a good thing. I don't think that he'd let them just go. It would point out to people on the ground there, those that are more willing to leave Grimes' dominion. It would work in that respect. Might make things a little harder for you for whatever you intend, but it would allow us to see who would want to leave.
Is this a particular special anniversary date we're coming up to? Is it when X many years of this was established?
Oh, yes. It's the founding of the church.
Yeah, but is it like 20 years since the founding? Is it?
I don't think this is any particular date of remembrance. They kind of consult with each other, and no one can really come up, you know. All of them, of course, read the scriptures that Grime puts out, etc. It's not anything special.
Well, it was the Edict of 77 that started this, and we are in 80?
Yes.
Yes. So only 3 years since they established, I think.
Yeah.
I want to hold up the little pamphlet of papers that I got from Jacob and say, every 3 years there's a purge.
Well, this will be the first of those
3 years. Is...
I don't think it goes to Trinity.
Nope, didn't learn anything while that we were hanging around that preacher about the ones of the number three. Like doctrines.
You know, like any conspiracy theory, you know, you can say what you want, and some will believe. You know, the scared will believe, and you know. Well,
certainly it'd work. You get those that are less sure of their faith and less sure in Grimes looking to leave. Might get them killed.
Do any of you have the ear of any of the faithful, like the police of the faithful or whatever, however you would say, who could spread this rumor to them that people were going to leave? So they started cracking down hard on them?
Yeah, certainly. We'd be able to put those rumors into circulation pretty quickly.
To the people who would then act and start a kosher curfew or whatever.
Yes. Or we can do it the alternate way, and we can let it spread amongst the people that we know are not very staunch supporters of Grime, that are only there because it's better than starving.
Well, do you not think that if they do start cracking down on people, that it will be easier to spread the rumor of them gearing up for some horrible purge that is coming?
Okay.
That would get whether they were faithful or not to question their things. I mean, as we know, a lot of people do not believe.
Well, yeah, I could see it would work. And as I said, Grimes and many of the elders are sequestered in the church from sunset to sunrise. So,
I don't mean just on the day. I mean, we have a month, two, or whatever it is before. So you could start that rumor now, and then people could start leaving.
Yeah. Certainly some of them would be able to get out pretty quick once in the early days of the rumor. But once it's been noted that people are leaving and the rumor makes its way up to those that are more in the position of making policy, likely they're going to close the ports down, keep people from leaving.
How long do you think that'll take?
Well, it depends on where I start the rumor. If I start it low enough in the chain, probably
3 days before they start locking things down?
Right. But
maybe less. Depends on whose ear it gets into.
So they will just wall off the area entirely. Effectively.
Well,
no one out.
Right. All the gates out of the city, they'll be closed down. Only those that are there for business and not properly part of the church would be able to come and go. The populace would not allow to leave.
Do you not have anybody who could man the gates?
They think about that for a bit, and they said, we might be able to arrange something like that. Certainly there are some people within Grimes' organization that are still open to being bribed.
How hard would it be to overthrow one of the gates?
Not hard for a time. Eventually, we'd be ran over if they got enough troops to come to that gate. But the gate itself, we could take it pretty... We could take a gate. We could probably hold it open for... He thinks about it for a little bit and says, well, depending. On the day of, we could hold it off longer because they'd be in disarray. No real communication with the command structure, you understand. Beforehand, take about... We could probably hold it for an hour until they could mass enough force against us that we'd have to leave it.
How about if you try and take all the gates?
We don't got enough men for that. We could do one gate.
Well, I mean, if you have some of the populace that wants to leave...
Yeah, well, yeah, but the populace ain't armed.
Yeah, but it's more of a distraction and commotion where they have to spread their troops instead of just one area to...
Yeah, sure, but those people couldn't hold a gate is what I'm saying. They'd fall as soon as any small squad came by that fired at them. We got enough staunch men that we could hold a gate. Maybe an hour. And we could cause a commotion out of the gates, but they wouldn't be able to hold it for any time.
How about blowing the wall apart?
Make your own gate. Could be done.
Set it up for a couple of different spots.
I suppose he thinks about it for a bit. You know, they confer, and then they come up with, you know, one of them's kind of drawn on the dirt, the outline of the city. And it's like, well, if we do it at the four corners and the populace that wants to get out, they know about it ahead of time and be ready for it. He thinks, we'd need a week. We could do it. We need a week.
Well, we have a couple of months.
How's that going to affect your timing, though? I mean, we're not exactly going to be in communication with one another.
They are still going to let people in, presumably.
Until things get bad. I mean, once you start talking about blowing walls and taking gates, and it's going to be a complete lockdown.
They will not let anybody in to replenish their losses?
Not until after they gain control again, no.
Well, how long do you suspect it would take them to feel secure?
Few days. A lot of people die in that time, though. There'd have to be examples made, and they'd kill a lot of people.
Well, I mean, what other options do we have? Either everybody dies or something.
How long would it take... If people were ready, how long would it take to get the unfaithful out?
Well, Los Angeles has a lot of different districts. If we're talking about breaching the walls and giving them ways out, could be done fairly quickly if they knew ahead of time that there'd be a breach in a wall.
How quick?
Look, if we are thinking that this will affect Shannonsburg as well, which is miles and miles and miles away, then we cannot do this on the day. It would have to be done weeks in advance. So, I mean, do it today, get the faithful out, and then, or do it a week before, or 2 weeks before, and then we do our thing.
Yeah.
That is really the only option we have here.
We start
people will die no matter what we do.
Yeah, we start the rumors 2 weeks out. Or, I should say, once we start the rumors, I'd say people would start trickling out slowly. There wouldn't be a big exodus because people wouldn't want to draw attention. But people would start to trickle out slowly. I'd say within 2 weeks, the hires up would recognize that their populace or some of their populace is starting to go. And that's when they'd start making it harder to get out. But there'd be a good 2-week period, maybe 2-week period,
where some of these people could get out. It's better than nothing.
Hmm. But innocent people will go in to fill in the space. No matter what. It will just be different people that we kill. Or that are killed in the ensuing caves.
Yeah. They nod, say, yeah. Grimes' ranks swell daily with those that aren't able to feed themselves. Offering of free vigils, that makes a crowd. It draws a crowd. You're right.
So the question is, people that the men of the grid know, or people that the men of the grid have not had time to get to know it? That is the only decision we really have.
Unless you give people a reason not to come to flock to Grimes.
They already know about the... Well, rumor has already spread about the nature of Grimes' food, and that's not stopping anyone. I gather, I'm guessing. I assume so.
Some word has gotten out, but it hasn't really been picked up, you know, universally or anything.
And we didn't really have proof that we bought back. We just had...
Yep.
We just had accounts. Yeah.
And is it even those who have heard the rumors, I'm guessing it's not going to stop them anyway.
Yeah, it's, you know, person starving. You know, weigh a rumor in one hand and against the empty hand when you're trying to feed your family.
And let's see, Grimes has the feast every Sunday, and then there's smaller meals during the week or not?
Yeah, for those that are interested in joining after the free meals on Sunday, they got people that are willing to teach, and when they teach, they always bring food.
Okay, then is there a way to...
We cannot trust anybody who is in there, sorry, because anybody who has eaten can be taken over by a thing. So there is nobody, if we enact this plan, they will find out about the plan, because there is no one that we can trust who they cannot turn to their advantage.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If you've been tainted by Grimes, then innocent is a... no longer really applicable.
So Jacob speaks out and says, well, but if we're just starting a rumor that there's going to be some great purging coming this 23rd of August, has nothing to do with any plans anyone might have. It's just a rumor. Maybe those of fainter heart will leave and we'll save some. It's not like they know anything. It's just
and
a rumor.
As I said, more people will come into the city to fill the void. So
unless we can somehow expose the food lines.
Yeah. You'd have to...
Right, if we do that, they know we are.
Yeah.
Well, they're still going to have their ritual, or otherwise they're screwed. We can do a nighttime insertion from the air if we need to. I say, looking over at the gyrocopter.
Court speaks up. He says, what if we gave them another option? What if... I don't know, we couldn't do it for long. I mean, maybe there's funds available to do it for a good solid month. What if we gave people another option? Let's say we get backing of some other organization that's willing to feed people that are willing to come out and listen to a spell to a preacher.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamstealmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.